Let's turn to Job 27. Now, Job's already been speaking, but here it says he continued his parable and said, "As God lives, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul? All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. Please strengthen us and help us serve you. Bless this message and have your will with it. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two types of people. Now, you heard the expression, it takes all types. Well, that might be all right when you talk about different types of personalities and different types of blood. Because, you know, if you're in the hospital, it takes all types. But when you're talking about spiritual condition, really, there's two types. There's righteous and there's unrighteous. And today, as we look at Job, we look at two different types of people, both the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, as we look, he says, "As God lives, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Listen, the one thing that grabbed me when I read this is this. Job is going through all this trouble and all this strife, yet he says, God still gives me breath. I'm still alive. At work, there's a few people that can inspire you if you let them. If your mood is such that you don't want to deal, then you might have a problem. But if you'll let these people help you, here's what they say. Any day you wake up 6 feet above the ground instead of 6 feet below, you're doing pretty good. And these people are usually also acknowledging that God is the one that gives them the breath. God is the one that gives them the life. Well, Job says, "I'm having all this trouble. I have my freedom, my health taken away, but I'm still breathing. He hadn't killed me. I'm still alive." I wonder if this was a moment of clarity for Job, because earlier Job was wishing he had died. But now he realizes he's still alive. And look at what he says. He says, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." There's one thing about righteousness that we need to understand is righteousness and righteous people love righteousness. If you're truly a righteous person, you love righteousness. There are times when unrighteousness makes you ill. Now, we've been desensitized to a lot of it. But there are still some injustices in the world that just make us sick. When we are mischaracterized by the world, it disturbs us. Because we know we love the world and they think we hate them. That bothers us. Because the world is lost and going to hell and we're trying to point them in the right direction. Righteousness loves righteousness. And Job says, verse 4, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Guess what? It's like God's giving me breath. I sure ain't going to curse him. He says, "I'm keeping my mouth pure." And I like what he says in verse 5. He says, "God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me." You see, he knows he's right. He knows they're wrong. And it looks like not only might he be telling them so here, it looks like he's saying, I'm sure not going to be unrighteous now because I don't want to prove you right. So you guys give me a reason to keep being righteous because I don't, y'all are so arrogant, there's no way I'm going to let you be right now. Well, hold on a minute. Does that not happen in real life? The arrogant and the cruel try to stop us, try to slow us down. Sometimes they just unintentionally spur us on. Their old expression, necessity is the mother of invention. Sometimes when you're being chased by the bad guy, you run a little faster. Sometimes when trouble hits, you pray a little harder. In this case, I could see their insults and their accusations being all the more reason for Job to continue being righteous, just so they wouldn't be right. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because my goodness, they have really been the mess. They have really been the mess. And at least he is trying to be righteous. He's trying to be right. Job, his friends thought he was bad. His friends thought he had done something terrible. Actually accused of him some things that they had no proof of. They just threw it out there. But Job said, I am righteous. There's no way I'm letting you win this argument. Because you are wrong. And I want to tell you something. It wouldn't have mattered if they won the argument or not. They were still wrong. The whole world may condemn us. And one day, it's coming to that point. And maybe not the whole. You know what I mean? The more and more people now are condemning Christians. But the world condemning us does not make it right. The world's opinion does not make the truth. God makes the truth. God knows the truth, and he knows who we are. Look at verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Oh, at first, when I said Job has no guilty conscience because he's not guilty, and that's true. But listen to this again. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. To me, it sounds like he's wanting to keep it that way. Oh, when God's people value holiness, when God's people value righteousness, when God's people value what God values, things start getting done. When God's people start valuing righteousness, holiness, being right with God, doing the right things, doing his will instead of ours. We talked about that a little bit in the devotional this morning. No, I'm sorry, it was in Sunday school lesson. How the Antichrist would want his will. Jesus wanted God, the Father's will done. When God's people say, God, your will be done, that's when things start happening. A person who values righteousness is a person God can use. And I want to tell you, we are getting to the point now, in this day and time, where I'm starting to wonder if even God's people sometimes care. I don't know how I can say that. I don't know. I know some of God's people care. Please don't think, I'm not talking necessarily about anybody in this room at all.
But I'm telling you, you look out this world, there's people that claim to be Christians. But where are they? I don't see them. If all the people that claimed to be Christians were truly Christians, we would have filled pews.
Well, you're just mad you don't have numbers.
No,
I'm just telling like it is. Now, would I like some numbers? Sure. But the Bible ain't based on, well, there is a book called Numbers, but church attendance, that doesn't make the truth. It doesn't. Now, I'd love to get some people in here to hear the truth.
But God's taking care of the rest. Make no mistake. So we see the righteous. We see Job as righteous, and we see some characteristics of righteous people. They want to hang on to that because the righteous loves righteousness. But now let's look at verse 7. He says, "Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that rises up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he has gained, when God takes away his soul?" Well, isn't that interesting? Was he calling his friends hypocrites? I don't know. His friends were pretty wealthy. I'm pretty sure of that because of the time in which they lived and the fact that they traveled all that way to get there. I'm sure they had a lot of provision. I don't know whether he was calling them hypocrites or not. But I want to tell you this, that Job hits dead on something that Jesus brings back later. When he says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" There are those who claim to be righteous. Remember I said there are those who claim to be Christians. And I said if everybody who claimed to be a Christian was one, we'd have filled pews. What's the problem? Well, some people aren't right with God. They're saved, but you know they need to repent. Okay, I get it. But there are others who claim to be Christian that, this is going to shock you, aren't. Now, I find this hard to believe, but I think it's true. There was a time when being a Christian was popular. Go figure that one out. Didn't last long, did it? Not in the scheme of things. It didn't last long. Look at the age of the world. Now, some people are going to say it's old, but let's say the world was 10,000 years old. And I might be doing math wrong. But let's say, what was it, a few hundred years? Think being a Christian was cool? That's not very long in the span of time. Look at how many people have turned away from God. Am I surprised? No, because Jesus said this would happen. He said, the way to destruction is broad. The right way is what? Narrow. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? We got a lot of people today gaining the whole world. We also have a lot of people that are going to lose their soul if they don't repent and trust Jesus Christ. And big shocker here, they won't be taking anything with them when they die. Verse 9 says, "Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God?" There are people who have this idea that I can do what I want now. I don't want to get saved right now. I don't want to trust Jesus right now because I have to change my life. This is the way they think now. And no, I'm not teaching works for salvation, but I continue. They say, I don't want to trust Christ, that I'd have to live for Him. I'd have to change my life. And I like my sin. Now, somebody like that, I wouldn't trust their salvation anyway if they weren't willing to give up their sin. But that's a fruit thing, not a works thing. But anyway, they say, I don't want to become a Christian because I'd have to give up my sin. I want to sin now, and then when I'm ready, I'll quit and I'll trust Christ. Well, there's a couple things wrong with that. First of all, you can't quit without it. Second of all, you don't come when you're ready. You come when He's ready. And folks, there may come a time when He stops being ready. There may come a time. Well, the Bible says no one comes unless the Father draw. And the Father, I believe, uses the Holy Spirit to convict. So right now the Father's drawing and the sinner is saying, I don't want to be saved now, but I'll be saved when I'm ready later down the road. But later down the road, what if the Father's not drawing? What if the Holy Spirit isn't calling? You won't want it anymore. And this is what I got when I read these verses. Will they always call on God? They may not always have the chance. Let's look at verse 11. I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all you yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? He's like, I'm going to explain to you how life is, but you should already know this because you see it yourself. Verse 13 says, this is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors which they shall receive of the Almighty. And he's saying, this is what the bad guy gets when God is dealing with the bad guy. And God will deal with the bad guy. Verse 14, if his children be multiplied, it is for the sword. And his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. You live wrong, your kids live wrong. That's true. Until God breaks the cycle, that's what happens. God does break the cycle, and I'm very thankful for that. But as a dad, I don't want to live wrong. Because I don't want my two boys to live wrong. I'm thankful that Max has trusted Christ. Love you, bud. But there's still a lot to learn, isn't there? When one trusts Christ, you got to learn, how do I live it? I want to tell you something. This world is... there's a battle going on. Make no mistake, there is a battle going on. And Paul says, the things that I want to do, I end up not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. It's like, I want to live for Christ, but I trip over my own 2 feet. And then I want to do the right thing, I end up doing the wrong thing. And when I don't want to do the wrong thing, that's what I end up doing. Now say that 5 times fast and you might get a medal or something. Because that's a tongue tie right there. But is that not life as a Christian? It's so hard of a battle. I want to do right, but I can't. But there's a battle. You understand what I'm saying? The fact that there's a battle. The fact that you are fighting for what's right. You may fail, but you're trying. That's saying something. Because there's a lot of people who don't know the Lord that aren't trying at all. If they have a lot of kids, the kids don't have a good life. Talking about the unrighteous, the wicked. Verse 15. Those that remain of him shall be burned in death, and his widows shall not weep. Isn't that interesting? I find that interesting. He may succeed. The wicked may succeed, but there are consequences. And a lot of times, for some reason, people have this opinion. They want people to think highly of them. And Job is saying, hey, wicked man, whoever that wicked man may be, when you die, your wife ain't going to cry. That's what he's saying. When the wicked dies, the wife don't cry. If you think about that, that is a deep, strong saying. And yet there are people today in this horrible, sinful, no good world that when the husband dies, the wife ain't going to cry. Why? Because the wife's been beaten, battered, abused, emotionally insulted, you name it. And the kids didn't have any help either. I wouldn't cry either. Verse 16. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment, raiment is clothing, as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. What he says is there are times where, the evil man gathers the riches, but it's the innocent, the righteous, that end up benefiting from it. I'll give you an example. In today's time, you have certain companies that try to get away with things, with people. They try to... Now, some companies get lawsuits put against them and they didn't do anything on purpose. They may have done something, but it wasn't intentional. Some companies do things intentionally, trying to be sly. You have this thing called a class action lawsuit, where everybody that's been hurt by somebody gets together and they have to get paid by the person who hurt them. That is an example of the bad guy reaping a whole lot of wealth than having to give it to somebody else. This actually happens. Verse 18, he builds his house as a moth and as a booth that the keeper make. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opened his eyes and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. For God shall cast... The east wind carries him away, and he departs as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. I can see that there are people today that are sinning, 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 hurting, 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 kicking, 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 and beating, beating, beating. And they don't care. And they don't lose any sleep at night over it either. They don't care who they hurt as long as they get the next dime. Listen, I'm not talking about capitalism. I'm talking about greed, and there is a difference. Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Actually, King James says all evil. I don't know which is which, but I know it's true. You look at greed and you see that there's very few things you cannot account for. Most sins have something to do with what I want. It's greed. The love of money. And there are people whose greed has taken away their conscience. So they don't lose any sleep at night. But one day you wake up dead. The Bible talked about the rich man. When he died, he had not lived a life for God. He had lived a life for himself. He had not trusted God. He had not believed God. That had not been accounted to him for righteousness. He was just a rich man who had what he wanted and didn't care about anybody else. And the Bible says, after he died, he lifted up his eyes. He was in torment in hell. That was right after he died. Can you imagine someone closing their eyes and saying, I'm going to sleep well tonight, and opening their eyes in hell? Ain't no more sleep now. None. That is the end of the wicked. That is what happens. Verse 23 says, men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss at him out of his place. It's like, yeah, you got to deal with men too, don't you? When a villain is caught, the man, he's got to deal with men, and there's a legal proceeding. But I want to tell you something. He should be more afraid of God. He should be more afraid of God. I wish, not for the lack of safety for you guys, but for the souls of them who I'm about to mention, I wish there were some wicked people in the room today. I wish there were some wicked people to hear this sermon. And I tell you, I do record this sermon. We put it online. It's taken me forever to get them up, but I do put them up. And I hope maybe one day some wicked guy somehow hears this. Because I don't want him to be able to sleep. I want him to know that, yeah, you can close your eyes all right, but man, if you don't know Jesus, man, you're going to open your eyes in hell one day and you won't like it. I don't want a lost person. I've been saying wicked, I've been saying unrighteous. I want to tell you something. Anybody who doesn't know Christ, anybody who hasn't trusted Christ truly is wicked. I was wicked before I knew Christ. Having a hard time at it now, but Jesus is helping, right? I don't want any person who does not know Jesus to be able to close their eyes at night until they know their soul is headed for heaven. Because I don't want them to wake up in hell. Well, some people deserve hell. Brother, we all deserve hell. And I know there are some mean people in this world. We read about some of them just now. Or some were brought to mind as we read. And yeah, we think of Hitler and we think of Osama bin Laden and we think of, I can't think of all of them. Hussein, Saddam Hussein. We think of all these names of people who have been so mean and so cruel. But it was my sin that killed Jesus. I'm sorry, what bigger crime is there than to cause the death of the Son of God? Actually, that wasn't my crime. My crime was rebellion against God. God caused the death of the Son of God, who is also God. No, go figure that one out. You'll spend your whole life trying to figure that one out. God came down here in the form of a man. Actually, he did better than that. He took on human flesh. He got born. No sin nature. Lived his life. He was tempted. Never sinned. Lived a perfect life and then died to pay our price, then rose from the dead. Why did he do that? The Bible says it was out of love. God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why would he do that? Well, when Jesus prayed in the garden, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I kind of read that as to saying, Lord God, if there's any other way for me to for these people to be rescued, let's put this on the back burner. Let's not do this. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And guess what? God's will was for Jesus to die on the cross. Why? Because there was no other way to save mankind. Jesus died and rose from the dead to save you, to save me, and to save any who would call upon his name, trusting him for salvation. You see, when we look at righteousness and when we look at unrighteousness, Isaiah 64:6 says it so good. It's one of my favorite verses. And it's funny that it's one of my favorite verses because it says a horrible thing. It's true. But it says that my righteousness is filthy rags to God. Why is that one of my favorite verses? Because it proves that I can't do a thing unless I know the King. Got to know Jesus. That's it. So if my righteousness can't get me there, I got to have Jesus. So the solution to this two types of people, righteous and wicked or unrighteous, is to know that we all start out unrighteous. We all start out wicked. And to turn righteous, well, that's something only God can do for us.